And croeso to episode 133 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. Back fresh from his trucking convention is Llandyfri's answer to Eddie Stobart. Rodri Davies, Rod, nice to have you back. How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad. Had trouble in the border checks on the way back with my truck. So yeah, I think that's a common issue now. So I'll probably touch on that later on. But yeah,
really,
took me longer to get back than usual. That's my 2 week absence is just stuck on the Calais Dover border there. Yeah, bloody you.
We're really leaning into this truck stuff now. I don't know if
we jumped
the shark on it, but there we are. And in the absence of Kaus tonight, I don't know where he is. Maybe he's in some sort of trucking thing. I don't know. I haven't thought of anything funny. But we've brought some sense in to replace him. It's, of course, the brilliant Megan Ferringer. Megan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm sad Kaus isn't here, but I'm glad that I can make up for his absence.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an upgrade in my eyes.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime your Kaus isn't on, there's a replacement. It's usually an upgrade, isn't it? Yeah. So, yeah.
Another busy weekend of Welsh football to chat about. But before we get into that, you know what's coming. Get yourself a subscription to Alternative Wales for 2024. Rodri will be writing his usual spiel. Megan has promised me something for the next issue. So now she has to write it because I've said it on this public forum. Don't worry, Megan, you'll still get it in before Rodri. He is, without doubt, always the last to submit. I wouldn't have any other way. Someone's got to be the last one.
That's why I've kind of based it around supposedly current affairs. But so I try to be as current as possible. The way the news will changes these days, I gotta leave it last minute. That excuse anyway.
Exactly. Anyway, you can get your subscription on alternativewales.com/shop. Individual copy pre-orders will be going live in the next week or so, as will our front cover release. So keep an eye out for that. Rod, can I have three reasons, please, that people should invest in a subscription?
Three reasons. Yeah. There's loads of reasons. So that's number one. it's very affordable. It's full of great quality and it's an easy read. It's a good read. So
good. There we are.
That counts.
Yeah, I think that'll do. Right then.
I could go on, but we've only got an hour, haven't we? So
yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. Right, let's start with the roundup of this weekend's results for the English sides playing over in that there England league. It was once again two defeats for Cardiff and Swansea, losing to Norwich and Ipswich, respectively. The South Wales, this is the Old Farm. I don't know, there's something in that in there. I didn't realise it was Norwich and Ipswich until I'm looking at it right now. But anyway, it means absolutely nothing. Wrexham picked up a big win against Notts County, and Newport didn't let their blip in midweek affect them, beating Gillingham 1-0. Will Evans on the score sheet yet again. No game for Merthyr. Their game was postponed. Megan, Swansea, Luke Williams hasn't given them a new manager bounce, so to speak. But there's some people suggesting that the performances are improving despite results not really picking up. How was the first few weeks of the Williams era gone, do you think?
It's been chaotic, but I also think if anyone thought that it was going to be this incredible bounce from the get-go and things would start becoming smooth again, that they were sort of kidding themselves, because the squad that Luke Williams was inheriting, he said it when he came into the club, that there are a lot of players here that he's going to have to sort of make do with, and he is sort of dealing with a makeshift squad. I won't go so far as to like call it slapdash or anything, but this is a difficult time, and you know, it's not good where Swansea are. There's no need to like beat around the bush. Like, there is potential relegation at play here, but at the same time, like, I don't think it's going to get that bad. I think they are playing better, like a lot better than they have been. But then, you know, there's just still silly mistakes and players that you think maybe shouldn't even be in the squad. But, you know, that is just the way that it is at the moment. I think just making sure that we get through the rest of the season safely and then sort of trying to build into the summer, like, that's the best thing that Swansea can do.
Yeah, 4 points clear of the drop at the moment, you know, which is It's not great, but you've also got quite a few teams between yourselves and the bottom three, and there's a lot of crisis clubs at the moment. Millwall dropping like a stone, Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham, I think, are too far adrift. QPR probably the only ones who can get out of it. Rod, we've said it so many times this season, the Swansea are too good to go down. But do you think that, you know, we're probably going to see Luke Williams pick up enough results in the next, was it 15 games left of the season?
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I'm still of the belief they've got more quality than some of the sides down there. Even though, you know, you can question some of what Luke Williams has got to pick from at the moment and what teams they can put out. But I still think when it comes to the crunch against some of those teams, they'll have more than enough to put them away. But then they've got to go out and do it, haven't they? And I just think they've had a pretty tough run of fixtures for Luke Williams to start his reign, really, because Leeds and Ipswich are two on the bounce now. Realistically, the way both of them teams have been playing all season, it was going to be a tough ask just to get a point out of them fixtures. So, for me, yeah, they've still got enough. But, you know, it's better to get it done sooner rather than later. And that gap's closing and closing the more the weeks go on. And, yeah, I think the next handful of games, maybe four or five games before we start getting into that, you know, single digit games left in the season, then I think this pivotal Swans start to drag themselves a bit further adrift before they become that next team above the drop zone, and that's when you're really in the muck, really. So
Yeah, it was I think it was Stuart James who put the tweet out, and he put something along the lines of like Swansea against the top three or four sides, and it showed that Swansea obviously had lost all of them. Obviously, I hadn't gotten any points, but like the level of goals conceded was just astounding, and the level of goals scored was even more shocking. And I think that's where Swansea really have to do some reflection and sort of, you know, we always talk about them having a leaky back line, and oh, it's because of the way that they play and whatever. But like, I watched the Ipswich game, and like there were a lot of errors where you're thinking like, how in the world has this just happened? Like, why are we sort of gifting these things? And I know that just comes down to quality, it comes down to confidence, it comes down to a lot of different stuff, and tactics is one of them. But yeah, when you look at something as like blatant, it's just sort of, this is the number of goals scored, this is the number of goals conceded. It's silly things like that that just need to sort of get dealt with, and then I think Swansea can build in the summer.
Yeah. My worry is with Luke Williams is he isn't known to have the best defensive record at Notts County. They relied on outscoring their opposition. So I don't know how good a defensive coach he is. And if Swansea are leaking goals now, will it get much worse? I don't know. But you look at Swansea's fixtures left. There's some big games. They've pretty much got, you know, everyone who's down there left to play. Sheffield Wednesday, Rotherham, Huddersfield, Millwall, Stoke, QPR, all, you know, Cardiff, who are dropping like a stone, Blackburn, who are having a bit of a struggle. So some massive games, you know, they got the big sides out of the way now. Now is the time to sort of make sure, like you said, Rod, before it gets down to 7-8 games remaining, get those points on the board. Because I think when it comes to Cardiff, they probably have a little bit too much on the board now to worry too much. 40 points.
Especially with the teams in between.
Exactly,
you
know,
when there's that many teams in between you and the drop zone, then it takes a lot of... The shit's really got to hit the fan for you to get sucked into it then, along, you know, more than any other team. So I was just going to say quickly, before we move on to Cardiff, I was just going to say maybe... I know Luke Williams has got his principles, but he might need a pragmatic approach just to pick them wins up, because I thought against Leeds specifically, that's a game I watched. So, but they couldn't play that way against Leeds. It was a bit naive, kind of leaving it so open. So they just, you know, he'll get given time to implement his style, I'm sure. But for now, I think they just needed to concentrate on getting points, and that's the realistic way of looking at things for now. I think implemented style once you've kind of guaranteed safety, and I know maybe he's only got that one way of doing it, but I'm sure he's good enough and he's coached it enough games of football to just get them points in the bag, I think, for now, and then try and go on the all-out attack in football, which the Swans fans will delight in should it come off.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really need to spend too much time on Cardiff. It's pretty much copy and paste from last weekend. It's bleak at the moment. Another real poor performance. Cardiff managers have been sacked for a lot less. Don't think it's necessarily the right move to sack Errol Bullitt, because we can't just keep sacking managers and hoping something works. But something's got to change. By the time this will be out, Cardiff would have played again against Blackburn. So we'll see if anything has changed. By the time you're listening, it could be a lot worse. Errol Bullitt could even be gone. Who knows?
Roy Hodgson's available now, so
yeah, he's been poor bloke. Got taken ill in the week. Couldn't even keep him in the job.
Terrible.
Interesting point on that. I thought Steve Cooper would be a sure thing for the Palace job, which means he's still a free agent if it all goes wrong next month. But yeah, not wishful thinking from me there. In League Two, obviously, we mentioned Wrexham beat Notts County. Newport won again. They're sort of having a great time. Megan, anything from those two games that you want to mention?
Well, so this is from actually when Newport played Notts County. I know it wasn't the result that Newport wanted, but my partner went to the game and he heard a fan behind him shout down to Graham, the manager, like, "Fuck off with this back three," or something like that. And Graham turned around and went, "Fuck off, won't you?" And like to the fan. And like, I just thought that was fantastic when I found out that happened, just because, I don't know, you don't really get that when you go to a really big stadium and you don't have that sort of vicinity to the manager. But when you're that close to the touchline and they can hear you and you can hear them, like, why not have that sort of that conversation and that two-way communication? So yeah, I just loved that. But I think Newport is kind of being overshadowed a little bit, obviously, by like Wrexham's success, which is incredible. Like, the Newport are within, is it 2 points of the playoffs, like, while we're speaking? And I know there's a lot of clubs between them.
Yeah, they're two points off, but I think about six or seven clubs between them. So yeah, it's they're very much so in the hunt.
Yeah, so it's like super contested, but I just think it is really cool. And I don't think a lot of people are really talking about Newport being anywhere near the playoffs at the start of the season, or if they were, obviously they just weren't conversations that a lot of mainstream media was having. And, you know, that's myself included. So now fair play to Newport, because not only, you know, they obviously got the Manchester United draw, which was great, but they're building on that, which is really, really cool to see. And, you know, if they do make it into the playoffs, it's so deserved. And it would be really cool to see Rodney Parade get a playoff shout.
Yeah, absolutely. They've had a good run in the playoffs over the last few years, not quite getting over the line, but yeah, it'd be great to see them up there again, especially if Wrexham could do the job. And who knows, all four Welsh teams could be in League One next year. that'd be novel, wouldn't it? Domestically, it was the Welsh Cup quarterfinals this weekend. No shocks, unfortunately. Britain Ferry did give TNS a fright by taking the lead on Friday night, but that only tends to anger the new Saints, and they did what they usually do, go through the gears and score five goals in half an hour to win 5-1. Connors Key dispatched Buckley on a cabbage patch. It looked terrible, that pitch did. Third tier Flint Mountain were no problem for Bala, and Cardiff Met and Colwyn Bay played out the most entertaining game of the weekend. Met went 1-0 up. Colwyn Bay went 2-1 up. And then Met came back to win 3-2. So that's a semi-final lineup of the new Saints, Connors Key, Bala and Cardiff Met, which also happens to be the current top four in the Cymru Prem. So makes sense, really. It'll be boring. You know, it's inevitable that TNS will probably win the thing, but is what it is.
Yeah.
We crack on. Also, a huge shout out to Llandrin Major, who beat FK Skjold, I think it's called, they pronounce, in the Phoenix Trophy on Saturday. They won 1-0 with 10 men on a pitch that definitely wouldn't have been playable if the opposition hadn't travelled from Denmark for the game. Skjold, I hope I'm saying it right. Anyway, they're the current holders of the competition, so it was a really impressive result and a great occasion for the club. They had a great crowd. And hopefully they can turn over Enfield Town in their next Phoenix Trophy fixture next month.
Do you know much about the Phoenix Trophy? I didn't know anything about it till I saw this fixture.
Yeah, so it's like some sort of like semi-pro Champions League, and it's basically like sort of community clubs, you know, FC United and Manchester play in it.
Yeah.
Clubs that have got a bit of an alternative sort of like, maybe more of a left-wing edge to them. And the finals played in Milan, I think, in the San Siro potentially. So
bloody hell.
that could be incredible if Atlanta go all the way. So yeah, it's a really cool little trophy if you can look into it a bit more. But yeah, hopefully we'll have a bit more coming out on the Alt Wales output over the next few months about it. By the time the pod comes out, we'll be exactly a month away from the playoff semi-final against Finland. And you know what? We've got players playing, and players playing well. It feels like we're in quite a nice place. Rod, since we last spoke, Leeds have added to their Welsh ranks once again. Connor Roberts has joined the gang. How are they all doing? How has Roberts settled? Because I feel like he's probably been under par for Wales in the last year or so. So how's it all going there?
Well, the trouble is he's joined now with Leeds absolutely flying in form, and he's not starting for Leeds at the moment. So he's struggling to break into a side that's unbeaten in 7 games, I think it is. But even more impressive is the fact that since Ampadu's had to fill in at centre-back, that Leeds have only conceded 1 goal in 8 games. So that's definitely something that Wales can look at as a defensive pairing if need be. Since Mepham's not playing, and
shame we don't have any other centre midfielders. Because
I was just going to say, now yeah, that's the only trouble with Wales is if you take Abbott out of midfield, you're really kind of diminishing
the whole midfield. I love Jordan James, but you put Jordan James by himself, and that is so unfair on that poor 19-year-old. My partner and I were having this conversation because when we saw like some stupid like 754 minutes, and they've conceded 1 goal between the two of them, like that. That is so incredible. Every Wales fan will tell you that Ethan Ampadu can play at centre back, but I don't know what you would do in midfield, because I'm with you, Roger. Like, if you could put him in a centre back pairing with Joe, that'd be great. But then at the same time, like, then you get into the conversation of, do you play with a back four? Do you play with a back three and wing backs? And I feel like it's too soon to Finland to start asking Rob Page to tinker with a system that is already questionable.
And to be fair, before he got moved to centre-back, he was being absolutely incredible in midfield as well. So, you know, he's just a great player, isn't he? So, I think... But obviously, it's get out them two playing together. Dan James has just come back from injury, so he's had a couple of sub-appearances. So, it's quite relieved there, because I did see his... the Leeds manager, said in the press conference a few weeks ago that he's got a groin issue. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. Mm. The start of the problems for Wales now, but... No, he's come back and he's looking fine. So, it's just nice to see. It's obviously a massive bonus as a Leeds fan to see the Welsh boys really carrying the flag for the team then. And obviously, Championship now seems to be full of Welsh players doing well, doesn't it? With Moore and Broadhead scoring goals for Ipswich as well. So,
I'm going to Ipswich in a second, but obviously since we last spoke, Rod, you've been to 2 Leeds games. And you've seen 2 wins, your first 2 Leeds wins ever out of about 60 odd games. How does it feel?
More like 40 odd, I don't know. It's quite a lot.
Too many for it to only be two wins.
Yeah. To be honest, I did get to a lot of games when Leeds were beyond shit. So it was more understandable when they weren't winning. But I managed to get to 2 games this season when they seemed to be winning a lot. I did go to watch him when Bielsa's manager, though, and I still didn't manage to see him win, so I thought it was just me. But that is a nice monkey off the back. But shame one of them was against Swans, because got a good couple of good mates who are Swans fans, and it wasn't so pretty watching Swans that night. But I suppose in the Championship you've got teams that are just, you know, a level above financially, so that's how it went, really.
Exactly. Megan, Rodri touched on it. We've also got our other Welsh contingent at Ipswich. Nathan Broadhead scored 2 in his last 2, scoring against Swansea on the weekend and in midweek. Kiefer scored again in midweek. He's got 3, I think, in 3 as well for Ipswich since he's joined. Wes Burns playing well, although not really ingratiated himself to the Swansea fans by doing the Ayatollah.
No,
but the less said about that, the better. Could you see Broadhead and Burns playing quite a big role next month? Because Burns... He's been very good for a long time for Ipswich, and I've never really seen him as a potential starter. But with Conor Roberts not playing amazingly well, not playing much for Leeds since he's joined, hadn't been playing for Burnley, do you see him as a possible starter next month?
It's these moments when I kind of wish Wales had some sort of like friendly before the game.
Yeah.
You just like see what was sort of going on, which is frustrating that we don't really have that option. But to be honest, I think so. I don't know if Rob Page will twist from his sort of tried and tested, which is kind of frustrating because I'm with you, like Connor hasn't played. And when Connor has been rusty in the past, he hasn't been at his best, and he'd be the first one to say that. So I think Wes has played really well, and I think he's like a totally viable option, especially when you consider the dynamic that's now being built between not just like Nathan, but with Kiefer. And Kiefer starts, like, no matter what happens, Kiefer starts the game. But now that Kiefer's playing and he's in form, if you suddenly have a player who understands Kiefer's dynamic as well and plays with him week in and week out, that is only going to help and benefit Wales. So there's a genuine argument to be made that Wes Burns could deserve a spot. I just can't see Paige doing that in such a big game, because I think maybe he might think it's too much pressure on Wes, like a player that has never really been in that scenario before. It's a huge show of faith. Does it somehow, like, you know, impact Connor? Like, what's that relationship like? And Paige seems like he's sort of built a lot of his decisions on loyalty. We've seen that, you know, throughout his tenure. So I can't see him doing it, but personally, if I were a manager, I would be considering the decision of putting Wes in.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because it's been so long since our last game, and a lot of football has been played at club level. It does feel like we need, there's a few lads that I'd like to see maybe not thrown in at the deep end in such a big game. You know, you need a friendly or something, but alas, we don't have that.
Nico's not playing nearly as much, and it's, sorry, I just like totally just jumped in. But yeah, it's that wing back sort of situation that isn't looking like too great. The rest of the team, they're all playing, so it's fine.
Yeah. Other than the goalkeepers, but, you know, that's sort of a given these days. Beautiful. Yeah. Rod, David Brooks got his first Southampton goal on the weekend, which is great to see. Brennan's also grabbed a couple of goals recently. It's going to be a hell of a decision to pick for Paige when it comes to these forward areas, isn't it? You're looking at probably maybe even six or seven players for three spots.
Yeah, which is why I kind of agree with what Megan was saying. I think he's probably going to go tried and trusted, isn't he, with his usual big hitters. But then again, when you say that, how do you fit all them players that have started out of necessity previously? You can't fit them all in. So Wilson, Brooks, you know, Brennan, Kiefer, you know, there's
Dan James.
Dan James, obviously.
Potentially, yeah. Ramsey. He's obviously having a scan on his calf.
It does allow that kind of thing that me and Kaus said way previously, that I like the option of Dan James off the bench because there's nothing worse for defenders than someone like Dan James coming on for the last half hour with his pace and stamina, running at tired legs. Yeah. But yeah, for me, I think he's going to go, you know, it won't be too much of a shock that starting 11. It just depends who's fit. And I think you can factor in who's playing minutes and stuff. But then, like Megan said, the only ones that really aren't getting minutes are the wing backs at the moment. So it's our land, the goalkeepers. But yeah, I think it's a strong position to be in because you could slot any of them attacking options in and they've all played regular and scoring goals. So yeah, it's a good position to be in, and I wouldn't want to be the guy letting some of them know they're not going to be starting. So
I guess a lot will come down to the analysis of Finland. I don't know anywhere near enough about Finland, but Paige and his team will make the decision on if they, you know, will a target man work better than sort of pacing behind, or will sort of tricky wingers in the guise of Brooks and Wilson, who may not have the pace but are good on the ball in tight situations, or are you talking people like Brennan Johnson and Dan James, who are like pace merchants, knock the ball over the top, cross it into Kiefer? I guess that's the decision that the analysts make and will probably form who starts. Because I think Broadhead doesn't get in the conversation, but he's probably, some of his finishes for Ipswich,
weekend was fantastic.
Yeah. He's such an instinctive striker. Someone we don't have, like a finisher.
Without Ramsey as well, I thought when he came on, this is going way back, but which game were we out in before that we... Was it Armenia I'm thinking of? But he came on
in Armenia, and he was one of the good players that night.
Yeah, but he was also one of those players who played similar position on the pitch to where you want Ramsey if he's fit. Like, he was filling that hole and playing the position properly, where I think Wilson, Brooks, Johnson, James, they're all wingers, really. Like, you know, in different guises, but Broadhead's more of a, like, kind of like a false attacking, like a false nine type of player, isn't he? He pops up and scores goals, but he's also a good link at playing. He's someone, if he's playing with Kiefer Moore, you know, like Megan said, that they might have that dynamic by then where they would work together well as like a attacking pair, really. So it's a lot to fact, lot, like you said, a lot of it will factor on how Paige wants to go about against Finland, like whether, you know, you want to get the crosses into Moore in the box, or just you do want to, you know, bit someone who's better in tight spaces like Harry Wilson. But yeah, it's just one of those things. It's a nice option to have. It's
It
not like the
is.
center of midfield where you like, if we don't have Ampadu or we don't have Jordan James, then what the fuck's going
Literally,
to
who
play?
is literally who is it? Because Morel is out
Out.
for the season, and then after Morel, you've got she's
Levitt, isn't
probably
it?
Charlie Savage or
Yeah, Charlie Savage was my first
Sheehan.
pair.
Sheehan's having a decent season at Bolton. Levitt's obviously not getting much game time. You could even look at someone like Eli King, who's a young Cardiff player playing at Ross County, but I don't think they'd do that. That is the position where we really lack depth. And I think at centre back as well, we lack a bit of depth at the moment.
Yeah, I
Because,
think like Ben Davis has a good play in and
obviously
Lockyer,
Norrington
obviously.
Davis is out again. Obviously he's more of a left wing back, but he can play left centre back. And obviously Lockyer played in that Turkey game and I thought he was brilliant and I thought it was his shirt to lose. So it's a shame we haven't got him. Obviously it'll be Meppen, but again, beyond that, I haven't even heard Cabango's name mentioned in regards to
No.
Swansea. Is he playing, Megan?
Yeah, well, he played on the weekend, and I don't think it was hit totally his fault for one of the switches goals, but it's been a torrid time at Swansea, like point blank. So for a centre back in a team that's leaking goals, naturally, it's just not going to be very easy. I still think he'll get a call up, but again, like Paige has never fully trusted Bangabanga. Like he's never really given him sort of the go ahead, and I don't see that changing in sort of a do or die match against Finland.
So let's hope we can afford one of those six or seven attackers to be injured, but we can't afford anyone else on the pitch to get injured.
What position's Lewis Kumas? Because I've seen him pop up on the bench
I
for
actually don't
Liverpool.
know.
Yeah,
In
I
my
hope he's
head,
a centre mid.
in my
Get
head,
him in.
he's in the mold of those sort of attackers. But
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm basing that off absolutely nothing. The other one to look out for is Charlie Crewe. He's a centre midfielder. It's probably a bit too early for him.
Leeds, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Ollie Cooper. He, you know, people were scrambling to get him to the World Cup. I thought he'd be a good option in the middle, but again, he sort of got duffed, didn't he, really? He sort of, since then, he hasn't recovered.
Yeah, that's a very good verb. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, we worry about that if we need to worry about it. For now, it's Ampadu's and Jordan James's. And we'll get there. Megan, is there anyone else, I think, at this stage? Obviously, like you've said already, that it's probably not worth risking anyone. You know, Caldwell's having a good run for Cardiff, just unnecessary. Keep him with the 21s. Is there anyone else you think may make the squad on an outside? You know, now is not the time, really, is it, to bring in new people? But is there anyone?
I can't think of any now. When we hang up, I'm 100% gonna end up being like, shit, I forgot this player. But at the moment, no, I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head. Because it's like Roger said, I think he'll just go with his 11. Like we're gonna look at that, and loads of people are gonna be sort of angry that they predicted it, that that's the 11, but that's what I think is gonna happen.
Centre back as well. I just remember Joe Lowe. He's having a good season and I like him. He's absolutely massive.
Oh,
I
and
think
he's been with the senior squad too, and Paige is all
He
about
played
him.
in Wrexham, so I think potentially we'll see him not start, but I think he'll go in the squad probably in place of Lockyer. But before that, next month there's a women's international break, which is next week. They take on Ireland away in a friendly. Megan, John Gray is taking the reins, which for now, Gemma Granger's assistant. He's freshened up the squad with a few new faces. What do you make of the announcement of the squad, and which of the new faces should we be keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, so it's a really exciting squad. He's done the one thing that I think a lot of us were upset with Gemma not doing, was the fact that like he actually called in youngsters. The players that I'm most excited about who are coming in, well, there's Lois Joel, who plays for London City Lionesses, and she's quite an exciting player. And I think she's come back from injury, and that's one of the reasons why she's kind of older. She's 24 and she hasn't really played. Tegan McGowan, she's really fun. She's a youngster, she's coming through. And again, she's recovered from injury, so that's why she's now in the squad. And she's you know, someone who probably in the future is going to be someone like people are going to get excited about. Tiana Tessage, so she plays for Bristol City, but she's on loan with Cardiff City Ladies, which is like quite an interesting loan. But she's there, and I've heard nothing but praise for that girl. Like,
I saw she scored yesterday.
Yeah, and loads of people get excited about her. Lots of the players are excited about her. So she's someone that I have been kind of waiting to be called into the senior squad. I like that it's happened. But, you know, John Gray, I think he said it best himself. This is a friendly. There is absolutely nothing riding on this game. So why not bring in fresh faces? Because at the end of the day, like, that's kind of what's been needed. And I understand Gemma was under pressure for the Nations League, but that was the tournament or the camp, the competition to bring in these youngsters, not the Euro qualifiers. So it's almost like the new manager is going to have to play catch up because there are a lot of new faces that need to be incorporated. So I like that he's doing it now. He's getting a head start, and whoever it is, it's going to be the manager. They're going to have a huge injury. So I'm not very jealous of that, but that should be announced before April, which is very soon. So
yeah. What's the latest on that? It's gone very quiet. I haven't seen anyone linked. Is there any sort of, you know, insight you can give us into the process?
So from what I've heard is the FAW are doing it strictly by people who've applied. So it's all through an application process. They've had, from what I've been told, they've had a lot of applications, which, you know, kind of, I guess, seems fitting, you know, for managers who might think they want to sort of make history, they want to make a name for themselves. This is the opportunity to do that. Also, you know, like, you're helping Jess Fishlock and Sophie Ingle get to a major tournament for the first time. There's a lot of pull there. And if, you know, Jess and Sophie have anything to do with it, they'll probably reach out to people and encourage them to apply. So there's been a lot of applications. They're going to sift through them this month. And then it should sort of like boil down to the final contenders in March. But there's also just the element of money that the FAW are dealing with. And I think that's going to come down to that might end up weeding out some people just because the amount of money the FAW can offer. I'm not really sure how it compares, but like, for example, Norway are paying Gemma Granger far more than what she was getting paid with the FAW.
Yeah, that is the great leveler for the FAW always, isn't it? It always comes down to money. But there we are. Yeah, that's next Tuesday away against the Republic of Ireland. Be nice to see some fresh faces. It's been a while. And finally, Megan, you had an exciting few days a couple of weeks ago. You were at the UEFA Congress and the Nations League draw in Paris. You got to catch up with UEFA Vice President and, more importantly, listener and friend of the pod, Laura McAllister. How was it? What should we as football fans be keeping an eye on going forward? How many new tournaments are they going to bring in? How are we going to have football every night of the week?
1,000 games a season.
It was very eye opening, very enlightening. There's so much politics that goes on at these events, not just when the cameras are rolling, but throughout the entire time. For football fans in general, there's a lot of chatter that happens, not just with the people making the decisions, but through the FAs themselves. And I think that's something that sometimes get lost on fans is that they can just blame UEFA and not think that actually, like, the federations do have a say, and a lot of stuff happens sort of off the record. So, like, just being aware of that and understanding that, like, this is a lot of decisions are made, and it's not just one or two people making the decisions. Like, there are a lot of people that go into doing it. So that was really interesting. There's not going to be that many new tournaments, but there still is a lot of tournaments and there's a lot of football being played. So I don't think there's enough room to add another tournament. That was kind of one of the big talking points. But from like a Wales perspective, one of the most exciting things is that Laura McAllister is Welsh representative on Exco. She's the only woman, and she's like highly thought of, and a number of people came up to me privately and were like, she's putting Wales on the map. And we talk a lot about how Gareth Bale did that, Aaron Ramsey did that, a lot of players are doing that, and yet at the present moment, I think she's probably one of the greatest examples of not only putting Wales on the map, but making Wales like probably one of the most progressive FAs in terms of reform. One of the things I went out there to go talk to her about was gender equality and governance, and the FAW on their sort of top board, they've got three women, which, you know, isn't a lot, but it's also more than a lot of other FAs who are, you know, historically thought of as very progressive. So Wales is doing a lot of things right, and Laura McAllister is the one sort of spearheading that. So, you know, from a Wales perspective, it is really exciting because Wales can be looked at as sort of a small nation, and yet on one of the biggest tables, like, Wales has a very large voice. So it's very cool to see.
Yes, long may that continue. Laura is a national treasure. So, it's exciting that she's playing such a big role in the future of football, because for so long, football governance, you know, hasn't been run by the best quality of people, based on, you know, FIFA's recent history. Yeah. Laura hopefully is bucking that trend, because she definitely has her heart in the right place, and I think that counts for a lot. I think that's most bases covered for this weekend's football. We'll be back in a few moments to play the lineup game and answer your questions. Welcome back to part two of the podcast. As always, we'll start with our famous lineup game. With the recent Nations League draw, it inspired me to go back to previous games against some of our opposition. I've gone for Turkey this time. I'll save Montenegro and Iceland for further down the line, because I don't think we've played them since Megan discovered what football was. So I feel like it would probably be a little bit too harsh. So I've gone for Turkey. I haven't gone for the most recent two games, but I have gone for Turkey 0, Wales 2, the famous night in Baku in Euro 2020, brackets 1, close brackets. It's been so long since you were both on. Megan, you can go first or second. It's up to you. You can choose. What do you want to do?
I'll go first, because I actually know some of these.
Yeah, it's a fairly easy one. I'm expecting us to go a long way. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. It's factor in that I'm here.
Well, it's cows that I worry about, Rod.
Yeah. I've had a bit of an off few months though, I think.
Yeah. Back in the game now. All right there, Megan. Easy. Kick us off.
Okay. Player of the match, Aaron Ramsey.
Correct. Rod.
Gotta go safe and see Gareth Bale.
Correct.
Connor Roberts.
What a penalty. Yes, Megan, well done.
He was the way he got his goal. And I like never did that little knee slide. And it was like such a perfect photo.
He did. Nice to pick a game with Connor Roberts playing when Kaus isn't here. Rod.
Ethan Ampadu. Oh, Christ. Have you frozen or was it wrong?
No, it's wrong. He came on.
Yeah, I told you.
He came on in the 73rd minute.
Yeah,
that's a rogue one that he didn't play. It's a bit rogue.
I'm trying to think of centre midfielders. Yeah. I obviously missed the obvious one.
So that's 2-1. Megan, you can win it with this one.
All right. I'm going to go with Joe Morrell. Only because he was the one who provided the assist in the game before. And he was rewarded with that with a start for this game.
Yes, correct. Well done. Rod, do you want to have one more stab at it? Megan's won, but go down the blaze of glory.
Doesn't matter now, does it? Danny Ward was in goal, I believe.
Yeah, he was indeed. Yeah. Had a great tournament. Ethan Ampadu caught you out there. That was the tough one. Danny Ward.
So there's a bit of a risk.
Yeah, Chris Meppham, Joe Rodon, Ben Davis, Connor Roberts, Joe Allen, Joe Morrell, Aaron Ramsey, Dan James, Gareth Bale, Kiefer Moore, and then Ampadu, Harry Wilson, and Nico Williams off the bench. So pretty bog standard team other than Ampadu. That tripped you up there, Rod. So some questions before we finish. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll have time for all of them. But thank you, everyone, for your questions, as always. Andrew Dunn, I'm going to have to start with this. So if you had to give out health advice, what would be your go-to subject? Megan, if you had to be a professional health advisor, is there a particular type of health you'd want to advise on?
I get sunburned a lot, so I feel like I'm really good at telling people to wear sunscreen and like what sunscreen works. I'm like super pale and redhead for people who don't know what I look like. So yeah, me and sunscreen go way back.
I feel like a common thread of the three answers is going to be stuff we're really bad at ourselves.
Yeah.
And I feel like, Rod, that's where you're going. You can advise other people to not do what you do.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So the perils of overextending yourself socially, I think.
And how to that's one way to put it. Overextending yourself socially.
Yeah, just, you know, the dangers of consuming too much alcohol in a short space of time, I suppose, and best ways of managing that. That would be probably one of my go-tos. But yeah, other than that, how to overcome hamstring injuries maybe as well. I don't know. And I'm quite expert now in the concussion field. I've had numerous ones of them in my life, so I could probably give some sort of shit advice on that as well.
I think I just get on my high horse and tell people not to drink as a man who doesn't drink. I feel like I could be that like really annoying guy,
preachy type.
I think that's what I'll do.
And I can nod along agreeing whilst my eyes are in different directions. Like, yeah. He's talking sense.
Yeah, just look at this guy. That'll be, you'll be my... The podfather, Alan March, says, we know that the alternative Wales team like a prediction. What will our final Nations League table look like in November? Now, interesting one. Long way to go. We talked about it last week, about who even will be our manager at that point. Megan, an early prediction. Well, how is that four going to end up?
I just think the way Turkey have looked of late, and, you know, for the Euros, everyone was like, there'll be the dark horses, whatever. And they actually underperformed. But since then, they've only looked good. So I think Turkey will finish top. I think it'll be Wales, Iceland, Montenegro. And I will eat my words if suddenly Wales finish like third or fourth and Montenegro pull a fast one over everyone.
They did in 2010 when they were in our group last. Rod, what about you?
I think we'll come second, but only because the game via Iceland will be aborted due to volcanic activity. No, in serious, I kind of go along with Megan. I know Evan says we should be winning that group, but Turkey look like they're a team on the up now as well. So I'd be pretty wary of saying we're going to finish above them. But it'd be nice to think we will. So I'll just say... Wales won Turkey 2, and then chuck the others at the wall and see where they stick.
I think we're, again, this could melt like ice. Iceland are a team who are dropping off. I think they'll finish fourth, and then Montenegro third, us second. And,
especially seeing as Iceland's Turkey home games first. Will be in Villa Park.
Don't. If we don't get a trip there, I'll be gutted. It's early days yet. Although there is a part of me that kind of wants to see us go down because League C has got some mega trips.
You'd be furious at the time, but then you'd be thinking, good long-term thinking,
It's like if Cardiff went down to League One. I've got loads of grounds in League One I've never done. We've been in the Championship for like 20 years of my 27 years I've been alive. So it's just like,
after a while in the Championship, you just want to get out of it one way or
the other. Yeah, one way or the other.
This feels like an untapped struggle for Wales away. Wales fans obviously want to, like, do well, but 90% of Wales away is about where you're going, and suddenly it's like, well, if we're already going to be mediocre in League B, why don't we just go and have more fun in League C? Not spoken about enough,
because League A doesn't really have great trips. Obviously there's a few, you know, like you could end up at England or like France, you know, it's fine, they're just fine trips, but you want your Kazakhstan's, I know they're in League B this time, or Moldova, and, you know, all that nonsense. But who knows? The 94th minute said, which town in Wales have you always wanted to visit but have never been able to? Megan, as a newbie to Wales, relative newbie, is there anywhere you've always wanted to go but never been?
This is more of a geographical area, but I've never gone further west than Swansea. For a myriad reasons. I don't drive, and the public transport just sort of stops. When it it's that far. So yeah, I'd like to go further west. I don't really want to choose any one town because I feel like I'm gonna immediately get just like messages saying you should have chosen this town and we're better than them. Because I just don't know enough about the West. So I'd like to just go out there with like a book and some cash and like a general idea of where I'm going, and then I'll just sort of adventure out in the western of Wales.
Yeah, the West for me as well, for some reason. I've done quite a lot of the North, obviously done loads of the South, but the West has always been, I've done Tenby a few times, but never really. I'd like to do St. David's. That looks like a nice town. And I've also, oh, there we are, fish cake in St. David's. I've never done Llandovery either. I had a very quick photo in the car park once when we drove through on the way to Aberystwyth, but a good night out.
How many years have we known each other now? Come on now.
Surely
that should be top of your list if you haven't spent enough time. Yeah.
I'll get there eventually. I'll get there eventually. What about you, Rod?
Well, I've done a lot of South Wales, to be fair. Like football, rugby, everything from my younger days. I used to travel watching Llandovery play rugby with my old man, was heavily involved there. And we used to go to all these places like Tondi and Maesteg, Kenfig Hill, and all these places down near Cardiff as well.
I don't think any of them really are sort of like, you know, top places to visit. No, Kenfig Hill,
but
especially. No offense.
That's what I was going to say, though, is their equivalents of those type of places up in the north I'd like to go. And not the obvious picks, but places that are a bit less well known down here. I'm open to suggestions, but. It reminds me when I was younger, I was obsessed with Abercomboy and that whole general area with Penrhyw Cyber and like the Aberdare corridor, basically with Mountain Ash and all them. So I got my dad to drive back that
obsessed
way.
With I was. The Aberdare corridor.
Well, Abercomboy was the name that jumped out at me, and I just thought it was a made up place when the first time I heard it. But got my dad to drive us back that way from Cardiff one time, so I ticked that off. Not that I've stopped there, but So maybe a stop in Abercomboy, but otherwise, North Wales I need to do more of, really.
Yeah, I've only done Carnarvon really for the football. I'd like to go on like a proper night out in Carnarvon with a bodyguard.
take a stab vest with you.
Yeah. I don't want to say stab vest, but you know.
Well, yeah, but
Nathan, on the subject of places like to visit, Nathan Evans says, do you think the heads of the Valleys Road will be finished by 2025? Rod, you spend a lot of time probably knocking around the heads of the Valleys Road. Will it be finished by 2025?
Christ knows, I doubt it. I think they're about £1 billion over budget there already. So I don't know. They're on to about their fifth firm trying to get it completed.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a famous... couple of traffic lights around Llandovery that seem to be going on. They have been going on for about 15 years. Like most of my life, there was these traffic lights by Derwydd on the way to Ammanford. And then there was another set by Seddy Bridge that seemed to just always be there throughout my younger days into my like adult days. So I it feels a bit like that's the way it's going with the Heads of Valley. So I'm going to put a prediction of probably 2038 when I'm touching 50.
50th birthday drive along the new head.
Yeah, lovely.
Right, before we finish, we'll have two more. There's a lot of questions about the £6 million investment into the Cymru Prem. I'll leave that this week. I'm hoping in the next few weeks to do a bit of a deep dive Cymru Prem. No promises, but that's the plan. Get a few people who are involved in the league in some way, shape, or form, have a chat about it. So leave that with me. We'll do it properly rather than rushing through it tonight. And on the subject of that, I don't know why I said that's got nothing to do with it. But Ben James, Viva the Ninian fame, he says, with Wrexham's game at Sutton being attended by the United Airlines cabin crew, I saw them there, very fun. Which players from Welsh clubs do you think would make the best cabin crew? Megan, anyone jump out of you as a potential potentially good at the old your exit this way, strap in life vest,
brace,
yeah.
My first instinct when I thought of cabin crew was like, maybe this is my being American, but it was like the smile and the greet, and it's like, do you want a bag of pretzels or peanuts? And like, I was trying to think of a player that fit that mold, like super chirpy.
It's Connor
And for some
Roberts, isn't it?
reason, yeah, it was Connor Roberts
Yeah.
and Dan
Yeah.
James. I thought those were the two. I was like,
Yeah.
if I were going to get on a plane and I wanted to feel like, marginally safe, but also just like I was about to have a really nice plane ride and this is going to be fun and enjoyable. Those are the two that I'd want on the plane.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think
Dan James
that's.
has got those pearly whites, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's sorted.
Joe Rodon also kind of fits the bill because he's quite a vain chap. So I like that
Yeah.
these cabin crew like to present themselves well. So
A lot of
I
cabin
think
crew look
Joe.
like they could be on Love Island, and Joe Rodon is that sort of kind,
I
isn't
think Joe should do like all the announcements. So like in his
Yeah.
in the way that he
Yeah.
speaks, like that's what I
What's
want
he
is Joe
doing?
Rodon over the tunnel. Every time there's a little bit of turbulence, like you just get
Yeah.
this, you get sort of his
Yeah.
commentary on it. And yeah,
Yeah.
I think that'd be
What's
great.
going on here? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a
It
lot.
wouldn't
That's
put
good.
the passengers at ease, would it, if Joe Rodon's like screaming, "What's happening here now?" Like, yeah.
Good
Aye.
stuff. Right, to finish off, again, sorry if we haven't got to your question. Time is running out. So hopefully we'll get to it next week. Although Ben Price, why is melon such a shit fruit? That's I don't like melon either, but I'm not even gonna entertain that too much.
Yeah.
Boosh, here he is. It's got to be done. Let it go, let it go, and I'll rise like the break of dawn. Let it go. That perfect girl is gone. Belted out many little girls. The song that won an Oscar from Frozen. Yes, love, love this song. Ah, oh, Boosh. It's award season again. So, what award would you give your fellow hosts? Is the Pulitzer the journalism prize, or is that a book one?
I'm so far down the journalism pecking order. I don't even know what happens above me in the journal in the award show. But I think it is. I think a Pulitzer is for. I think
Yeah,
it's
it's
for journalism.
sort of like the Nobel Peace Prize of journalism. So, Meg, you can have that. Rod, I feel like I'd give you like worst guts in Carmarthenshire, maybe.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Was it like a big like gold box of Imodium or something?
Yeah. Lifetime supply of Imodium for the worst
Yeah.
guts in Carmarthenshire.
They're not that bad. They're not that bad. There's
No.
a fair few worse than me.
Yeah, I'm
You
sure
make me
there is.
sound like I've got no control on my guts. It's not true. Yeah.
Adult nappy, wearer.
The adult babies take over is off.
One of the all-time great tweets. God bless Neville
Yeah.
Southall.
Oh
Anyone
boy.
else want to give anyone an award, or is
Is
that
this our sign
too
to
much
give you an
bat?
award?
No, I don't. I didn't want to ask that because it does sound like I want you to heap praise on me now.
I'm gonna give you the humility award because
Yeah, the humility
you're
award.
always given, you never expect to receive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
exactly. Just a good guy, aren't I? Just a good guy doing good things.
I just give you me and Kaus an award. Actually, I give us the like them taking part awards they give out to kids who just don't do anything in school. But like, yeah, you can have a trophy.
Well
I
done.
think that's
Yeah.
probably what we need. It's been a
Yeah.
confidence boost for us all. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. That'll do for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Rod, any quick trucking advice?
Actually, I haven't got much. I'll have to do a quick synopsis another time about that trucking convention.
Yeah.
It's just gone in 1 year and out the other. To be honest with you. I was didn't take my truckers quota of Pro Plus before I went, so I was, dozed through it all. So
Good
yeah,
stuff.
nothing. I think the weather's shit, so keep your eyes peeled on the road again for
Of course.
floods and stuff.
There we
Yeah.
are. Megan, anything you want to plug, anything you want to say before we finish?
I can't add anything more than the roads are shit or the weather's bad. I can't,
Yeah.
like, there's nothing more I can add to that.
Yeah,
That's
full
just like
stop for that.
that's a generalization of Wales that you can make quite comfortably in any decade, I think.
Yeah.
Weather's shit, roads are shit.
By Alternative Wales in some way, shape, or form. Thanks for listening. I'm going to play us out with Eto by Adwaith because I'm seeing them next week, and I bought my ticket yesterday. All the best, everyone. Diolch yn fawr.